We appreciate your generosity and the collaboration of building a better world, one broadcast at a time. Please know we all love you madly.
Good evening. It's just about 6 p.m. in the nation's capital. The name of the show is News Views. My name is Garland Nixon on every Friday from 6 to 7 p.m. And boy, looks like the weather's about to change here in D.C. I looked at the weather. We're going to be in the 80s next week. Hooray! Lots of fun stuff going on. We have to enjoy life amongst the chaos. So, you know, I always say to people, you know, as depressing as things are, as screwed up as the system is, you know, still try to enjoy life, try to have fun. You never know, you know, if you knew that this 3 weeks from now, both your legs were going to get a cut off, wouldn't you have as much fun as you could for the next 3 weeks? That's the way I look at life. You never know what could happen in life. So always try to enjoy life as much as you can every day. Live every day like it's your last. You know, my mom used to always say, live as though you're going to live for 1,000 years and live as though you're going to die tomorrow, right? So, you know, yes, it's good to prepare for the future, but it is important to enjoy the present, and to always remember that if you can't enjoy the present, you can't enjoy life, right? And that's a fact. If you can't enjoy the present, you can't enjoy life. Think about this. If you can't enjoy the present, if you can't sit right where you are and eat a banana and enjoy that banana right there without thinking about what you're going to do tomorrow, what your plans are, what you need to do. Oh, I got to clean my room. If you can't just sit there and taste the banana and enjoy the banana, you can't enjoy life. Because let's say you make plans for a spaghetti dinner tomorrow with a friend, and you meet that person and you have that, and you're thinking, oh, I can't wait for the spaghetti dinner. The whole time you're not enjoying what you're doing. You're waiting for the spaghetti dinner. And guess what will happen? When you have that spaghetti dinner, you'll be thinking about what you're going to do when you get home. Oh, when I get home, I got to do that. And then I got to make my bed. Then I got to, oh, tomorrow it's back to work, blah, blah, blah. And what ends up happening is you never really live. You're always in the future. You eat the spaghetti dinner. If somebody says, how was that spaghetti? Was it good? I think it was all right. I don't remember that well. Because when I was eating spaghetti, I was thinking about what I was going to do now. And now I'm thinking about when I'm eating spaghetti again. And what happens is you get in an endless loop of looking towards the future. The future's a fraud. The only thing we have is now. And guess what? By the time I get the word out now, it's gone. It's all we got. An endless now, an over and over now. And if you can't enjoy that now, you can't enjoy life, because that now is life. Life wasn't yesterday. Life is not tomorrow. That's a hoax. Life is only right now. That's all you got. Enjoy it. If you're eating a sandwich, enjoy the sandwich. Enjoy the feeling of the bread and the taste and all the things in that sandwich. Enjoy that. Because that's what life is about, enjoying the present, being there, doing what you do, watching it. A person with an ADD kind of person, that's something I've had trouble with over the course of life, but I enjoy it. And at times I'll be doing something and I'll just stop. I'm like thinking about, yeah, what if this? I wonder this. Oh, if I was, and then I'll stop. And I'll be someplace that I've never been before, right? I mean, excuse me, I'll be someplace that I've been 100 times before, and I'll just stop and I'll look around the room. And I'll be like, man, I never noticed that vent. Sprinklers over there. Never noticed them. What are those two things sticking out of the wall? Oh, what's that on the wall? Let me read that. I'll just stop and go around and look around the things around me. And I'll realize that the whole time, every time I came in this room, I was thinking about, oh, yeah, so-and-so did this yesterday. And what am I going to talk about on a radio show tomorrow? And blah, blah. And I was so busy into times other than now that I just went through life and didn't enjoy anything, didn't notice things, nothing. So that's a recommendation for me. Learn how to enjoy the present. Learn how to be in the present. When you wash dishes, just wash dishes. When you wash dishes, don't think about what you're going to do tomorrow. When I get finished to wash the dishes, I'm going to just sit there. Look at what you're doing. Look at the dishes. Feel the dishwater in your hand. Look at the bubbles. Look around you. What's going on? There's a window. Look out the window. What do you see in your yard? What do you see next door, out the window, whatever? You'll notice things that are there all the time that you never saw. And I think practicing that helps you to understand life. So just a recommendation, okay? Just a recommendation, something to think about, giving you something to think about, right? Nowadays, they call it mindfulness. Oh, mindfulness, be in the present. All it is learning to be alive and learning to recognize that If you see, if you have a dog, look at the dog, man. Look at animals. They really know how to do it. Look at little kids. They really know how to do it. They're in the present. You can look at, you know, you ever watch these wildlife shows and you see a herd of antelope, right? And there's these lions are around the edge because they want to eat one of them, and they'll chase one of the antelopes and he'll run to the middle of the herd and they don't get him. And you know what that antelope does? Does the antelope sit there like, oh my God, the lions almost got me? No, he looks around a little bit. The lions ain't get him. He goes back to eating grass. Didn't get me this time. Oh, well, hey, that's a nice clump of grass. Think I'll eat it. Why? Because animals inherently live in the present. They don't have a future. They don't have a word for future. They don't have a word for past. They don't have a word for anything. Maybe they bark, bleat, or grunt. But they live every second of their life because they taste that grass and that enjoy that grass. We are so busy living in yesterday and tomorrow, trying to maintain things, trying to come up with all these plans and what have you, and deal with complicated systems that we never get to enjoy our life. We live for 50 years, 100 years, whatever we live, don't enjoy a day of it. We're stressed out. You know what we have? We have anxiety because we're worried about what's going to happen next. We have stress because we think about the terrible things we did in the past. Oh, man, you know, I remember when I did this. I shouldn't have done that. That was stupid. Why'd I do that? Oh, man, I'm angry. What if this is going to happen? You know, I know somebody that got a raise at work one time. Literally, got a raise. They got a raise. I said, oh, that's great. Well, I don't know. Why? Because what happens if I get this raise and then 6 months from now, they say, we didn't mean to give you a raise and they ask for it all back. Oh, no, I got a raise. And now I'm going to have to pay more tax. About they didn't just say, I got a raise. That's another, you know, whatever, X amount of dollars per week. I'll enjoy that. What? Maybe I can buy something with it. Maybe I'll save it. Maybe I'll buy crypto. I don't know, whatever. But they had to think about the possible terrible things, all the possible things that could happen. And if you really get down to it, you realize something. The possibility of things that can happen is infinite, infinite. No matter how much you stop and consider, you could never consider all the possible things that could happen. So it's a wasted exercise to do it instead of just enjoying where you are. Just throwing that out there. Something that happened to be on my mind. Actually, it wasn't even on my mind. I just started talking. All right, let's go. That being said, let's talk about broad issues. Right. Let's talk about some broad issues, because if you listen to my show, you probably know I'm kind of a philosophically minded person. I didn't choose to be. It's just who I am. And I think about systems, not people. Right. I think about, for instance, in our society, what we've been taught in our particular system is not to look at the system. What we're trained by the ruling elite to their benefit is never look at the system and never look at the ruling elite. To always be directed towards someone who is our enemy, who is an evil doer, a villain, a hero, whatever, right? Oh, that's it all around. Let me give you an example. You've heard me say this. When it comes to foreign policy, we don't even have countries. Hey, what about Putin? We don't say Russia. Oh, Assad. I remember if you say something about Syria, right? I remember watching some exchange a while back during a debate between Tulsi Gabbard and Kamala Harris. And Kamala Harris said something, whatever. Tulsi Gabbard said something Kamala Harris didn't say, didn't like. Kamala Harris said, she's an Assadist. So there's no country of Syria. There's just Assad, right? And then, oh, it's Trump, right? So if you're on a Democrat or whatever, Trump. Oh, Trump. Trump is evil. Now, Obama's good. Trump's evil. Then if you're a Democrat, if you're a Republican, Biden's this, Biden that. What we're taught not to examine the system. That one thing you don't do, you don't examine the system. Well, let me say this. Trump is not in crisis right now. Biden's not in crisis right now. Obama's not in crisis right now. Putin is not in crisis. Assad is not in crisis. Garland is not in crisis. And you are not in crisis. The system is in crisis. It is time to examine the system, to stop being lit. I've had people call me, oh, Trump. Oh, my God. You know, anything but Trump. They've been taught by the system not to look at the system. And when I say I care about Trump, wouldn't it make no difference to me? You know what it's like to me? Like, for instance, I used to teach organized crime, right? And there was the organized crime families in New York. There was like 7 families at one time, right? The Lucchese family, the Bonanno family, right? They were families. If the boss of the Lucchese family got rubbed out, died, whatever, they'd replace him with another boss. But they were still going to do what they do. They were a crime family. You know what they were going to do? The same thing they did the day before, because that's what that crime family does. And if in fact, the boss wasn't doing what the rest of the crime family did, they'd rub him out and put in another boss, because he wasn't really the boss. In a way, he was a manager of a system to some extent. But was he really a manager of a system? The system had rules and the way they do things. Right. I remember watching one mob movie, and like there was a rule. We don't deal drugs. We do prostitution. We do bookmaking. We do all these crimes, but we don't do drugs. And like one of the bosses came in and one of his friends, and he started saying, oh, we're going to do drugs. They killed him. And they put another boss in. Why? Because he wasn't really the boss. The system had rules. And the boss was there to go along with the rules, to enforce the rules, to manage the rules. Think of the word president, preside. The president is to preside over something, right? And so the boss of the Lucchese family, the Bonanno family, whatever, is there to preside over a system. And if he didn't preside over that system the way that system liked, he caught a bullet. Okay, that was it. That's the game. He appeared to be in charge, right? And the other family could hate him. Didn't matter, because if he was gone the next day, they were going to get it, right? So in our system, I'm the kind of person that says two things. Number one, I'm a system person. I focus on the system, not on the person. Number two, I will never allow the system to give me my enemies. The system is always wants to give you two things, heroes and villains. The system wants to say that's the villain, that's the hero. And then you're not looking at the system. And no matter what, the system's going to give you villains and heroes, but it's never going to be the system. They're never going to say we're screwing up. Right now, think about this system we're in. You want to, Trump's wrong, Biden's wrong, this Putin's wrong, Assad's wrong, all these people are wrong. But wait a minute. Let's talk about what the situation we're in right now, the crisis we're in. The United States is supporting one war, which is basically a genocide in Israel, that Israel can't possibly win. If you want to be honest, Israel has already lost this thing. They said they were going to go take out Hamas. We're going to take out Hamas. And now there is an admission. You can't take out Hamas. Why? Because Hamas is a way of thinking. Hamas is a reaction to the Israeli occupation. And all you do is you infuriate people and more people say, I want to join Hamas. Hamas is not like a thing. Hey, what do you want to do with Hamas? Hand it to me and I'll throw it in the trash can. That's not the way it works. It's a system. It's a way of thinking. It is an opposition to the occupation. You can put whatever you want on. You can call it good, bad. But one thing's for sure, Israel ain't going to beat Hamas. Not going to happen. So their whole thing is we're going to destroy Hamas. And they can never destroy Hamas. You know what Israel has not destroyed? It has destroyed any hope that people out here support or like Israel. It is despised. Despised internationally, seen as a villainous, murderous, fascist cult. That's the way a lot of people in this world view Israel and Zionism. That's it. That's a fact. It has been exposed that it is. Let me say this. Is it anti-Semitic to be, say, I'm opposed to Zionism? Well, okay, Joe Biden's Zionist. In fact, the largest support in Israel for Zionism is white Christian Zionists, not Jews. Jews are on the street everywhere saying, hey, I ain't down with this. Okay, so the U.S. is supporting Israel in a genocidal war that Israel cannot possibly win. Let's start there. Let's move to the other side of the world. The United States is supporting Ukraine, a country on Russia's border, in a war that Ukraine never had a chance of winning. Never had a chance of winning. No possibility ever. And Ukraine is in a condition of collapse as we speak. So the U.S. right now, this system is supporting two wars that there's no possibility that either one of them will win. Now, meanwhile, at home, what do we have? We got people in the streets, college students, saying, hey, man, my government's committing a genocide. And what does the government say? Oh, you're anti-Semitic. But half of them, a significant number of the students are Jewish. But I guess they're anti-Semitic because that's all the system has to attack them with is identity politics. You're anti-Semitic. And if the person says, but I'm Jewish, so what? Doesn't matter. That's all the system has to attack them with. It's being exposed that it doesn't have a moral position. You are anti-Semitic. Here's the thing about it. Logically speaking, even if they were anti-Semitic, would that mean they were wrong? I could be the worst racist on earth. And if I say it's going to, hey, looks like rain, the fact that whatever I am as an individual does not reflect upon the veracity of my claim. But the attack on these students simply means this. Our government is at war in Israel. Our government is at war in Ukraine. Our government is at war at home with its own people. With its own people. You got people in America saying, wait a minute, $95 billion? That's what's going overseas? People looking around saying, my community's falling apart. My schools are falling apart. And potholes, our bridges, our all kinds of things. We got homeless people everywhere. People don't have health care. All of these things you could spend that money on. And $26 billion is going to Israel. $60 billion allegedly going to Ukraine. And that ain't even going to Ukraine. It's staying right here. It's going to Lockheed Martin. You know, the majority of that money is going to the military-industrial complex to replace weaponry that is already was sent to you, the Ukrainian military. Think about this. Weaponry that was already sent to the Ukrainian military that has already been used up and destroyed that the government didn't have in their on their paperwork. So basically what they did was this. They sent all of this stuff over to Ukraine. It got blown up and destroyed for the most part. And now most of that $60 billion is replacing that stuff. All in vain. Because Ukraine never, ever, under any circumstances, had any possibility of defeating Russia. Didn't have a chance of it. So what was the point? Well, the truth is, if you know what was that, it was actually all it was about was, it was about using Ukraine as a political tool to weaken Russia. And it didn't work. Because if you want the truth, Israel is a political tool also. Israel is a political tool for the United States. The United States needs a fort. The United States needs a military outpost in the Middle East where all the oil is. That's all Israel is. Let me ask you something. If the United States loves Israel so much that we got to look out for Israel, let me ask you this. How's Israel doing right now? It's at war. Its economy has completely collapsed. Israel is a welfare state. You know why we're sending $26 billion to Israel? Because their economy has collapsed because of the war. Their economy's collapsed. Ain't no Israel in reality. When Israel bombed the Iranian consulate and the Iranians sent drones and missiles, Israel was not able to defend itself. The United States military went in to protect and defend Israel. Israel can't defend itself because it ain't got nothing anymore. It is a welfare state. How about Ukraine? The United States pays the pensions for the people in Ukraine. The United States keeps the lights on, buys the oil and heat. The United States pays the politicians' salaries. Is Ukraine a country? Is it a colony of the U.S.? Is it the 51st state? The United States, they don't give you money. They don't pay your health care, do they? They don't take care of you. We're doing things for Ukraine and Israel that we don't do for you. Why? Because they're political tools and you ain't. You ain't. So you don't get it. You get nothing. You know what you get to do? You get to spend your tax money and pay. You get to give it to the Congress so they can then take that money and distribute it to their wealthy, filthy friends, and you ain't going to get none of it. And you know what they're going to do for you? You know what they're going to give you? They're going to give you a villain. Hey, when you say, well, gee, that doesn't seem fair. Hey, look over there, it's Trump. But I don't think this is, oh, Putin is evil. But China. Now these lunatics, that are at war with Russia, Ukraine, at war in Israel. And now they want to start a war with China. They are lunatics. The Biden administration are absolute lunatics. Do you have any idea? First of all, China's a nuclear power, isn't it? And if two nuclear powers go to war, One of them's going to lose, ain't it? And what do you think the one that loses is going to do? It's going to nuke the other one. And what do you think the one that gets nuked is going to do? It's going to nuke the other one. If the United States, if the Biden administration gets its way and gets its war with China, you are dead. And everybody you know, the little girl that works at the corner store, the guy at the gas station, the person you play basketball with the gym, you're dead. All of them are dead. If the Biden administration gets its own way, it'll kill us all. It's suicidal. The system that we are in is in crisis. All it can do is lie to you and get you to support it by giving you enemies. Right now, the country is in complete crisis. Complete. The system is in crisis. War in Israel, war in Ukraine. Let me throw this at you. The United States, I call it an empire, has a bunch of countries that I call colonies that do what they're told. So Joe Biden, he's got, I think, a 56% right now disapproval rating, which is extremely high. Our great ally in Germany, Olaf Scholz, 71% approval rating. South Korea, the guy's Yoon, president, prime minister, whatever, of South Korea. You know what his disapproval rating is? Disapproval rating, 70%. How about Kishida, our sharp and wonderful ally in Japan, the prime minister of Japan? You know what his disapproval rating is? 70%. How about Rishi Sunak, the prime minister of England? You know what his disapproval rating is? 66%. How about Emmanuel Macron, prime minister, president, whatever, of France? You know what his disapproval rating is? Right around 70%. The Biden administration, the U.S. empire, the rulers, the elite ruling class of the U.S. and its allies are completely, absolutely despised by their leaders. All of them. Why? Because they don't give a crap about their people. Now, there's such a crisis, all they can do to try to get out of the crisis is start wars. That's all they can do. They can tell you how evil the other, oh, that country's evil, that country's evil. And all our government does is start wars. And now our government is even at war with its own people because its own people are saying, we don't want you to commit a genocide. And the only thing they know is war. This country used every metaphor is war. Remember this? War on poverty. Remember that? War on drugs. Let me tell you how manipulative they are. America is such a war country. Why do you think they said war on poverty? You ever think about that? Why do you think they said war on drugs, war on homelessness, war on this, war on that? It is a manipulative way of saying war is a good thing. What are you going to do to stop poverty? War. War is a good thing. What are you going to do to stop homelessness? War. War on homelessness. Why? Because war can be used for a good thing. Really? What are you going to do to stop drugs? We're going to have a war on drugs. Why? Because war is a positive thing. It's a great tool that you can use to accomplish wonderful things. That was even a way of brainwashing you by using the term war on something bad so you would be brainwashed into believing that war was a positive tool when war is never a positive tool. Let me ask you this. How'd the war on poverty work out? We got more poverty. How'd the war on drugs work out? Got people dying of fentanyl and everything all over the place. How about the war on crime? There we are. The war on nothing. Because it was a metaphor to brainwash you into thinking that war was a positive tool because the United States, our capitalist society has been deindustrialized. We don't have an industry. We do have one industry yet left. You know what that is? It's war. Joe Biden recently has even said, look, you all, we got $95 billion for war, but it's good. It's wonderful because it's going to create jobs. Our system has collapsed to the point where the only thing it can do is war. And now they have to, you know, remember when Joe Biden and Trump did it and all of them come in and they say, you know, we're going to create good paying jobs with benefits. What they're saying is we're going to reindustrialize industry with that, but we can't reindustrialize. I could spend an hour telling you why, but we can't, and they have no intentions of deindustrializing. So they just lied to you. And now what they're saying is, well, we do have industrial capacity. It's war. We can make bombs. We're going to take $95 billion and buy bombs and all this stuff. Do you know what that does? When you buy military war material, it is inherently inflationary. It creates inflation. Oh, and you're going to find this shocking. The numbers came out recently. Inflation's going back up again. Shocking, huh? You spend all this money on war material. War material, purchasing that is inherently inflationary. See, when you put money into your economy, it should have a multiplying effect, right? If I build something and it goes into the economy, people can buy it, people can use it, people can make money, but you know, things like that, right? If you build a bomb, you can either store it or blow it up. That's it. It does not do anything. You put all that money into bombs, and it has no multiplying effect. The bombs do not work within your system to build more money, to make more money, to help, to do anything. They just sit there, and you blow them up, or you get rid of them. They create inflation. They're putting lots of money in the war industry, and we're getting more inflation. It ain't going down, my friends. And it causes destabilization throughout the world. Trust me. You'll remember this conversation before November, because sometime before November, at the rate these lunatics are going, the cost of gas is going to be through the roof. The economic pain is going to be there. It is going to be there. And you know what they're going to say to you when you say, man, I'm unhappy with what's going on. Look over there, Trump. We're prosecuting Trump. Don't you feel good? And that's another thing to me. I had to say that. Let me put out the number, 202-588-0893, 202-588-0893. Trump. It's interesting because I've had people call and say, I don't care what they do, long as they get Trump. In other words, I don't care if the government breaks the law and breaks the rules, as long as they break the law and break the rules to get my political enemies. There's a word for that. It's called fascism. What people are saying, literally, are saying, I am now opposed to democracy. I don't want democracy. I want the government to do whatever they got to do to take out my political enemies. There is a reverse side to that. At some point, your political enemies are going to get power. And what do you think they're going to do now that you've handed them a fresh new tool? If you put Trump in power, now that you've charged Trump with 900 million thousand things, do you think if Trump gets in power that perhaps the Department of Justice under Trump might start investigating a few Democrats and charging them with 100 million charges? I can guarantee you that. Guess what? You thought you had a democracy. We didn't, but at least people believed we had one. But when the government starts taking out its political enemies, you don't have anything that even resembles democracy anymore. And guess what? The ruling elite has you feeling good about it. There's a term, it's called Bonapartism. What does that mean? Factions of the ruling elite, which Trump is just in one of the factions of the ruling elite. Various factions, various groups within the ruling elite fight each other, right? This group versus, it'd be like in the Mafia New York, the Lucchese family and the Bonanno family go to war, right? Two powerful groups go to war. So you have two factions, two groups in the ruling elite go to war. But what they try to do is recruit the working class on their side. So one of these factions of the ruling elite says to you, join me, we got to get Trump. And then the Trump faction of the ruling elite says, join me, we got to get Biden. And the suckers join one of the factions of the ruling elite and actually believe that the ruling elite is working out for them. They're not. They're not going after. You think they're going after Trump because they want justice? Oh, we've got to stand up for justice. Oh, well, excuse me a minute. I've got to go finish this genocide. And then when we get back, we'll do justice with Trump. How stupid do you have to believe that people who are committing a literal genocide have some concern with justice anywhere? The two things are incompatible, my friends. But you've been taught to hate Trump, just like you've been taught to hate Putin. You've been taught to hate Assad. You've been taught to hate. Now they're teaching you slowly but surely to hate China, and you will. And if I know Americans, all they got to do is give them enough propaganda. They would hate Antarctica and ain't nothing there but penguins. If they start running enough advertisements to say to Americans, you know, Antarctica's out to get you. Those darn penguins, they're going to come peck you right in the eyes. They'll peck your eyes out. Americans would be walking around tomorrow. Well, you know, we got to do something about them penguins. They'll peck your eyes out. They wouldn't even know why they're saying it. All they have to do, the people that lie about everything, can come up tomorrow and give America a new enemy, and suckers We'll be like, hey, you know, those penguins. Come on, man. Look at the outfits they got on, black and white. They look like little doormen or something. They're up to no good. Down with penguins. Death to the penguins. They be chanting in the street. Sad and pathetic. They're at war. They're at war with the students. They're at war with everybody. 202-588-0893. First caller, what's your name? Where you? Oh, by the way, callers, here we go. Here's what you got to understand. Numero uno, we have a 10-second delay. Do not set the phone down and listen to your computer or listen to the phone for me to call you, because when I call you, you'll miss me by 10 seconds. I'll be like, caller, caller, and you won't answer because you won't hear it for 10 seconds. Keep the phone to your ear. Do not use a speakerphone. They sound terrible on the radio. Keep your mouth close to the receiver. 202-588-0893. Garland Nixon on the air. First caller, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
This is Mr. Solution.
Oh, my gosh, Mr. Solution. That's the man I'm trying to talk to.
This is Tom who called from D.C.
Yes, sir.
And you know I like to talk about solutions to these problems. And you're right on it. I agree with you. The system is broken. Now, I would like if you would help for the conversation. Identify the system, and do you feel it needs repairing?
No, repairing ain't going to get it done.
Okay, what system are you speaking of?
Needs revolutionary change. The system that we're in, it's a system of imperialism. It don't matter what you call it. I'll put it like this. It's all one. The economic system drives foreign policy. That our economic system is what drives us to go around the world, to start wars, to steal everybody's natural resources and enslave everybody in debt. Our economic system drives us to do that.
The economic system is part of this governmental structure, this constitutional republic, which is broken. Now, if we made America as it's perceived, according to the founding principles, a constitutional republic based in natural law, where guarantees life and liberty, and the government is supposed to protect that, that's where it's broken. If we repair it, we have the system is set up right, but it's broken. Our power has been taken from us, taken from the people, and as you correctly say, these ruling elites, which are global elite, which is our enemy, if we focus on the enemy, as we call them, the people behind the scenes, that they call the deep state.
Let me ask you a question. Can I ask you a question? Sir. Do you think the people in America ever really had the power?
Not really, no.
Okay. I just wanted to...
No, but that's why I said we need to go back and make it as perceived. See, we were guaranteed the principle of this country is based in liberty. And before you can have liberty, you must have freedom. So we were fighting for freedom, and the slaves were fighting for freedom. That's why I'd like to go back to 1739, Stonewall Rebellion. That's the founders of liberty. You had the Sons of Liberty, but we don't talk about the people who were first demonstrating, carrying a sign, and fighting, actually killing people. I hate to say it that way, but it's true. It's factual. Killing for freedom.
And still, then nothing's changed.
Nothing's changed. No, something happened. The greatest thing on the planet, known to man, ever since 445,000 years ago when the Anunnaki came here, they started slavery, manipulating people to make slaves. For the first time, this country was set up. George Mason out in Virginia said, people are born free. Now, that came from the plantation. See, people forget that America was built off the plantation system. And you speak of the system.
So the people that maintain, think about this, the contradiction there. The people that maintained a system of slavery said Americans are born free. So there was a contradiction from the very beginning.
Well, right. You're right. He was a hell of a statesman. He admitted he knew what was right, wrote what was right. So we all aren't perfect. None of us are perfect. But he wrote it up how it is supposed to be. That's why I'm saying make it as perceived. Mm-hmm. The whole ideology, this is a mindset. We're biological, sociological, and psychological beings. Mm-hmm. So we need some commonality. And we say unity. Our goal is unity. We have to come on the same wavelength and culture of liberty. Now, let's make it the way it was perceived.
Right.
Then we're on the right track. The system is broken.
I would say this. I would disagree on one part, and that is, unfortunately, the system's not broken. Systems work exactly as it's designed to work. The system is designed to extract money from the working class and put it in the hands of the richest people in the world. And it's working very, very well. So that's why I say we don't. The system is not broken, which means you need revolutionary change. You need a different system because the system you have is crashing. And I would say this is up to the working class. It's up to the working people to change the system because the ruling elite will never change the system. They'll fight to maintain the system because that's what makes them the ruling elite. You got the last word. I got to go to another call. If you could wrap up.
That's our sovereignty. That's our duty. Identify the ruling elite. That's our problem. We call them the deep state and run the system where it's supposed to be. Country was set up, it led the whole world.
All right. Thank you very much. And see, that's another issue I got to say. The issue of imperialism, the issue of we have to lead the whole world. As opposed, I disagree with that. That's what gets us into the mess that we're in. The idea that we have to be the special nation, the indispensable nation, which means everybody else is dispensable. We don't need to lead nothing. We just need to live our lives. We just need to be part of the world, part of a world where people are treated fairly and equally. The United States is running around telling everybody they got to listen to us, overthrowing governments, assassinating people, doing terrible things, and then coming home and lying to the American people and say we're out trying to spread democracy. When we're overthrowing and destroying democracy worldwide. I just don't understand why the American people continue to believe those lies. 202-588-0893. Next phone. Excuse me. Next caller. You're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Greenbelt, Maryland. My name is Malin.
All right. I'm listening.
Okay. The first thing we have is called a plutocracy.
Yep.
An elite group of individuals whose power derives from their wealth that govern.
Preach, brother, preach. Go ahead.
Okay, that's what we have, and we have a system that is printing money on a biblical scale to support a completely debt-based system.
Right. Okay? How about this? Can I add something to that, and then I'll let you continue?
Okay.
Because the system has in itself collapsed. It's like a person who spent all their money and everything else, and now all they got is a couple credit cards left, and they're living off those credit cards. Because everything that they've been trying to do, you know, they've got a company, and their company's not making any money anymore. They can't do anything. Everything is collapsed, and all they got is a few credit cards, and they're living off the credit cards. And people think that the company's still going, but it ain't. It's living off credit cards. That's what our system is.
What's happening is the currency is dying. It ain't food chain supplies. It ain't blue red states. It's got nothing to do with the currency is dying. It's losing its purchasing power every single day of the month. People are dying. Classes of people are going to go extinct. It's like water in a lake. As it drains, these fish die. It gets and then the bigger fish go to the middle. Mm-hmm. And then the bigger fish, because they got the wealth to do that. But in the end, when the lake drains, the big fish, they're in the middle of the deep water, but they're going to fight amongst themselves. Everybody's going to lose.
Yes.
Everybody's going to lose. They have to. They're doing these wars. Yes, you're right. They're doing these wars saying, hey, we're going to send over this money, over this money, over there, because it generates money. But they have. I know it's as sick as it sounds. But they have to keep doing that to keep the system liquefied.
You're right.
With currency.
You're right.
With currency, or it'll die.
Exactly.
They have to have an excuse. They have to have an excuse to bring money into the now.
Right. Because here's the thing. The companies aren't making money. Nobody's making money. I mean, generating profit. It's all off debt now, right? And since nobody's generating profit, they're like, okay, we need $100 billion. How do we do that? Well, nobody's generating profit, which means nobody's paying taxes. The companies don't even pay taxes anymore. There's no way we can get $100 billion. We'll print it. And that's what they do. And they print it. But what's going on also as a result of the money printing, as a result of a lot of other things that I could get into, we're now starting to experience the increased prices as a result.
Right.
We're starting
because
as a result.
That.
Yes.
Because
all of that is. Yep. Go ahead.
What the plutocracy is doing. They're saying, no, look over here. No, it's because of this. It's because of this COVID. It's because of the red.
It's because of this country over here is doing evil stuff. China's doing this to us. Iran's doing this to us. They start to point everywhere. You know what they won't say? The problem's on Capitol Hill. The problem's on Wall Street. No, it's 8,000 miles away. They can pick a little country as small as Iraq and convince Americans that their problem is in Iraq. Not on Capitol Hill or Wall Street. That's what kills me. Oh, did I lose him? Ow, doggone it, I lost that guy. Anyway, that was fun. All right, where's the next call? You're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from? You're on the air.
Yes, I got a question to ask. Since everybody keeps talking about the system, has this system ever been set up for black people, yes or no?
I'll go one further. The system was set up for the ruling elite. Black folks is just, let me, can I add this to you? The system is screwing over working class white folks too right now. In case you hadn't noticed,
everybody.
It is not set up.
I'm not asking about that.
Yeah.
I'm asking about black people. Has this system ever really been set up for black people?
I think you know
the
answer. My brother, I think you know the answer.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. This has never been set up for us. That we know that the black community, regardless of what groups we are, that we go and fight in all these other struggles with everybody else, our people still going to come out on a losing end of the stick. The one thing that's worrying me right now is with this Gaza situation. And my heart goes out to the Gazans. With the explosion going on all around the world right now, the issues of the black community is going to be put on the back burner for everybody else's issues, as it always has done. We are in a presidential election season right now. What specifically is the black community and the black activists are asking for all of the presidential candidates to do for our people? And I'm not talking about Joe Biden.
Let me ask
That's
you a
the
question.
Problem with our people. I'm talking about
but
all
let me
of
ask
the
you
presidential
a question.
Candidates. What
See,
are we asking?
I got to throw this at you. They're committing a genocide. They're committing a genocide right now, right? You really think they're going to? You really think that a bunch of serial killers, sociopathic murderers, that it's going to do any good to walk up to that sociopathic murderer and say, "Hey, would you stop stabbing that guy for a minute? I'd like you to give me a ride home." No, he's a sociopathic murderer. You can ask him. Go right ahead. Keep on asking him for whatever you want. You get nothing. You're going to get nothing. It's a waste of time to go to either one of these parties. You are fooling yourself into believing that somehow, somewhere in their system, there's something left that can work.
If they're not going to do anything for us, then why ask them for anything?
I agree.
So that's what I'm saying. And that's the point that I'm trying to make. When you talk about genocide right now, we are killing our own people right now. Where is our own black leaders doing to try to get our own people to start destroying
What black
other?
Leaders? I point me to some black leaders,
black communities. Period. We're not solving the problems with our own people first, and that is the problem right now. I'm seeing these young soldiers out here that is directing this right now because they feel like that we in the black community are not paying them.
Let me ask you this, man. I mean, I hate to sound like this, but I got to say what I got to say.
Go ahead. That's what I like.
You call these old Uncle Toms that just voted $95 billion to go to the pocket of the richest people in the world. Please don't call them black leaders. They may be black, but they are black puppets. They're not black leaders. They don't have a dime for us. They don't have a dime for poor black folks or nobody else. They got no time for us. If the man tells them to dance, they going to dance. They just did $95 billion. And guess what? Guess what they were doing? They had Ukrainian flags waving around. In the black community, there's poverty. There's drugs. They're struggling. People need education. And they're waving Ukrainian flags because they just gave $95 billion to the richest people. They are not black leaders, but we're so brainwashed we got to keep voting on them, thinking just because they're the same color as us, they're on our side.
Point right there. Also, then why keep putting them back in office?
That's a good question. I wish I could answer it. I wish I can't, brother. You and I, we're in the same. You know what I say? I would vote. People need to look for a different party for vote for. I literally wrote in the ghost of Abraham Lincoln. I'm not supporting these people. They're not supporting me. Why should I support them?
Well, I got another question I want to ask you. Why is it that the third party candidates don't put their differences aside for one day and do a third party rising march? Let the people
That's
know
a good
that
idea.
There are other options. I'm talking about Dr. Jill Stein, Cornel West, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., and any other people that's running the third party. They need to put their differences aside for one day, just for one day, because to me, the new blow up the system right now is to blow up the two-party system.
I agree.
There has to be a third party in there if anything else is going to change. So think about this, Dr. Jill Stein, Cornel West, Robert F. Kennedy Jr.
Appreciate the call. Next caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from? And we got some open lines, 202-588-0893. Go ahead, next caller. Oh, I don't hear the next caller. All right. Maybe they set the phone down and they're listening to the radio. We'll go to the next caller then. Next caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where you calling from?
My name is Bilai. I am calling from Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to make a small statement and then I have a question for you.
Okay.
My statement is regarding the system, the broken system. You know, you said revolution is needed to change the system instead of repair.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, even though the solution is right to bring the revolution, but we do respect, I tell you, the system has sent its tentacles all over U.S.
Yes.
And then all over the world.
Yes.
And it's something which cannot be uprooted.
But,
therefore,
let me ask you this. Let me ask you this. But it is in crisis. It can't be uprooted, but it's crumbling of its own nature. It's crumbling of itself. It's fallen apart. Every empire in history has crumbled. The Ottoman Empire, the Roman Empire, on and on is the empire. So you don't have to uproot or break the system yourself. If you look at it carefully now, you'll see that it's crumbling on its own nature. So it's up to the working class people to decide what they're going to replace it with and to make sure that it don't kill us all.
If I may say, is there a ready-made population, a ready-made new generation to bring that change? Everybody is keeping quiet and listening and taking the hit. Therefore, somebody must be ready, some group must be ready, like the Marxist era or the Leninist era, where a group of or many of them together then to bring a change, like you said, to bring a revolution. Okay.
Yes.
Jeanette, my question is, look, recently, Ukraine was shouting, crying, saying, I need machine, ammunition, and so on. So, U.S. gave $90 billion or $60 billion while people are starving here, no home. You have already said it. I don't want to repeat it. But today or yesterday, the Blinken, the State Department had went to China.
Mm-hmm.
And did he go to frighten or scare China? Or what is that? If you help Russia in its war with Ukraine, we are here and so on. What is, who is frightening, who is scaring U.S. because it's helping Ukraine?
Exactly. Well, you know, that's the U.S. That is the U.S. Foreign policy. We can do anything we want, no matter how terrible. And we can, look, this is what's bad. Tony Blinken went to China and said, yes, China, you're committing a genocide against the Uyghur population, the Muslim Uyghur. What? Tony Blinken told somebody else they're committing a genocide? That's how obscene this system has gotten. It is a farce. It is a joke. It is absurd that in the midst of committing a genocide, they could go to China, a country that has brought 800 million people out of poverty, as this country puts people into poverty, and accuse them of committing a genocide.
Yes. Is he not the one who said, I am a Jew?
Yes.
Oh, we look at it and so on. When 34,000 people are killed in the Middle East, they kept quiet. And now they saying, don't do anything against Russia, against Ukraine. Don't help and so on. And you are doing this is like you said. It's not right.
Hypocrisy. So, it is hypocrisy. Yeah. And it's getting clear. More and more American people are waking up to the fact. Now, we still got a lot of people that are drinking the Kool-Aid. Oh, I'm a Democrat. I got to support the Democrats. Oh, I'm a Republican. I got to support the Republicans. Oh, Trump is evil. No, Biden's evil. If we could just replace this one person, bad person, with a good person, all would be well. You know what's interesting? Right now, for all Joe Biden has said about, oh, the Republicans are evil and terrible and the MAGA people are terrible, where is his support coming from on Israel? The Republicans. His support with Israel is coming more from the Republicans, not from the Democrats.
Yes.
The Democrats are in the streets saying don't do it. Turn on Fox News. Fox News has turned into the Biden news program when it comes to Israel. But yet he will see they're buffaloing us into thinking that they're having a knife fight. They're having a pillow fight. It's not a knife fight. So we're supposed to hate the Republicans and the MAGA people and this and that, and he loves them. And when it comes to Israel, he is 100% aligned with the MAGA people, and then he will go run on the air and say, we've got to stop those evil MAGA people. Oh, by the way, I got to work with the MAGA people to stop these protesters. He's a hypocrite.
So the whole change is going to come from popular uprising,
yes,
popular preparedness. You know, everybody must wake up and then do that. I like your show. Thank you very much. Be safe, sir.
Thanks.
Thank you.
202-588-0893. Oh, we ain't got much time left, but we got another caller or so. Go ahead. You're on the air. Oh, darn. I'm not hearing our caller again. That happens here and there, but we'll hope for the best. All right. All right. Next call. You're on the air.
Hi. Good afternoon. Marilyn.
Yes.
I love listening to you and your discussion. I just like to say one thing. This is Charles from Southeast. Roman under the Emperor Justinian in particular and a few before him, and their policies against ancient Africa, then Egypt in particular, the civilization that existed then, and how this system we're under now is just an outgrowth of that Roman policy.
It's an empire. You're right. This is imperialism. It's an empire. But you're 100% correct. Go ahead. Hello? He dropped. Let my man know. I just sent an email with the song to see if you can. But go ahead.
Yeah.
Okay, it's I can like, try it again.
What I was going to say was that it's just like that policy that existed in 1452. You talked about it or mentioned it a little earlier. Dum Diversius and the Doctrine of Discovery. These were the same policies and they had the same principles that the Roman emperors under Justinian and a few before him had against ancient Africans back then. It's just hypocrisy. And Mayotte is the principle. We should always remember that.
Thank you. All right, next caller. We got time for another. Next caller, you're on the air. No more callers?
Yeah, I'm on the
okay,
air.
Go ahead. All right. I can hear you. Go ahead.
David from Northwest. I wanted to call in about the statements you were making about Trump. And I really think if one has a set of core values, they don't need to – there's no one that needs to influence them to hate him. I mean, we used to have those statements, those things, such as you reap what you sow. This is what Trump has done. He's got himself into this.
Now
you can have a group of people that are completely neutral – and say, this guy has to stand up for what he did.
Now, let me ask you a question, though. Notwithstanding. Okay, let me give you an example. When I was with the ACLU, and I'll just say this, we had a case, and we said this county is unfair to black folks. Why? Because the county was like 16% black. 92% or 94% of the arrests for marijuana was black folks. 94% in a country, in a county that was 16% black, right?
Yep.
And what we found was white people in that county used weed just as much as black folks. They were both guilty, but only the black folks were the ones getting arrested. That wasn't fair. It wasn't that the black folks wasn't guilty. It was that the system said, we're going to pick you and we're going to take you to court and take you to jail. But those people over there are doing the same thing, but we're not going to go after them. Equal protection under law. That's not fair. You shouldn't arrest black folks and charge them for a crime and not arrest white folks. And if you say, yeah, but the black folks are guilty, they do have weed, fair enough. But it still ain't fair because they both got weed. Would you agree?
Well, if we had more African-Americans at the presidential level.
No, but my question is just on that specific issue. Isn't it unfair to have 10 white guys get stopped by the cops with weed and none of them get locked up? One brother gets stopped with weed and he goes to jail. That's unfair, isn't it?
Yeah, of course.
Why? Because, but the brother's guilty. You can say, they could say, but he is guilty. He is guilty, but it still ain't fair. So here's my point with Trump. Let's say Trump is guilty of everything they charge him with. isn't it unfair that they wouldn't charge any other presidents with much worse? And now, all of a sudden, the system has decided that it wants justice. Did it want justice? What did Barack Obama say about George W. Bush when they said, you gotta charge him? He said, we're moving forward. We don't want to look backwards. Everybody knew he was guilty of crimes, but they said, we're moving forward. Nobody said, George Bush has to stand. He's done this. No. If it's fair to let George Bush, what about Ronald Reagan with the Iran-Contra affair? They let him go. They let him walk. What about Nixon? They let him walk. Every president guilty of who knows what, and everyone, they let him walk. And they charged Trump because he was messing around with a porn star and he paid her some loot. Dude, I don't know how much you know about Washington. There would not be a politician left if they charged all the politicians that had some porn star chick or whatever on the side and gave them some loot to keep their mouth shut. Wouldn't be nobody left on Capitol Hill if they charged them. My point is not that Trump is or isn't guilty. It's that it's not fair. That the system is not going after Trump because the system wants justice. It has chosen Trump because the system doesn't want Trump to be president. And if somebody else gets in that you like, and the system says, well, we already got this tool, let's do it again. Let's charge Bernie Sanders. You like Bernie Sanders? Yeah, system don't like him. We're going to charge him with a crime. Once you give the system that tool, you'll never get it back, and you will live to regret it. That's my point. What is your answer?
But E. Jean Carroll is not the system. The system
isn't it? Let me throw this at you. E. Jean Carroll sued Donald Trump for some sexual harassment thing 30 years ago, right? Is correct? Did you know this? She couldn't do that under New York law. So the New York legislature went into session and they passed a new law, and the law said you can sue somebody for something that happened 30 years ago. They did it specifically so she could go after Trump. And as soon as they passed the law, right after midnight, she went in and charged Trump. The system did do it. They changed the law in New York just so she could go after Trump.
No.
Oh, yes.
The system, you have to remember there was the Me Too movement that occurred before that, so they can get Harvey Weinstein.
But I'm saying the system changed the law in New York specifically so they could go after Trump. So you said she's not the system. The system said we got to get Trump. What can we do? Oh, you want to sue him? Yeah, well, I can't sue him because the law, don't worry about it. We'll change the law so you can sue him. They changed the law so they couldn't go after George W. Bush. I don't like Trump. I'm a lefty. I disagree with everything he says, but I believe in justice. And it's not justice to go after one man for a crime when you ain't going after nobody and charge him with everything you can charge. They threw the book at Trump. 91 charges? You don't think they're just trying to take Trump out with 91 charges in several different states? That doesn't look to you like they're out to get him?
It bounces the other way as well. When Trump was running for president in 2016, there was a woman from the...
No, but I would appreciate, before you go on, if you answer my question, does it look to you like they're out to get him when there's 91 charges in like four different states? Doesn't that appear that maybe possibly they're out to get him when they've never charged another president in the history of this country and this man's got 91 charges? And it doesn't seem to you like maybe the system's trying to take him out?
I hear what you're saying, but you have to remember that people need to be held accountable. We say it in the
But you didn't say you didn't answer my question. I said, do you think that the system seems? I don't know why you won't say yes or no. If you don't think the system's trying to take him out, fair. But do you think it appears that the system's trying to take him out?
Listen, I would say I don't think so, and I say that because if he engaged in all of these activities, which there's evidence that he may have in most of them, then he has to reap what he sows.
So then it's okay for them to charge a black man with possession of weed and let the white man go because the black man's guilty. Then it's fair. Even if you let the white man go for the exact same crime, it's okay to charge the black man, and your argument is going to be, but the black man is guilty, but the white man was guilty too, and you let him walk. That's not fair. So just because somebody commits a crime, okay, equal protection under the law says you can't charge one person and let the other person go for the same crime. That's my point. I don't think that's fair. It's not whether Trump did it or not. I think it's not fair. And the system is trying to take him out because they don't want him to be president. No other reason. Tell you right now, if Donald Trump said, I'm stopping running for president, they drop all the charges. What do you think they would?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay. All righty. Well, thank you very much. Appreciate the call. All right. If you want to get in touch with me, Garland N, my first name and the first letter of my last name, garlandn@gmail.com. You can find me on YouTube. I'm on YouTube. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Instagram, all those kinds of places. I'm not on Twitter, unfortunately. garlandn@gmail.com. 89.3 FM here in Washington, D.C. Go to WPFWFM.org. WPFWFM.org. Go to the donate button. Donate. You got to keep this station on the air. Peace. I'm out.